Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. For this episode, Gazette reporter Shardé James interviewed Cassandra Speer, co-author of Her True Worth and co-leader of a Christian ministry by the same name. Speer talked about her belief that women are subject to false, contradictory messages about what defines their worth, and that only through Christian faith can they find the truth. Here's Shardé's conversation with Cassandra Speer.
Okay, so joining us in studio today is co-author Cassandra Speer. She's the author of Her True Worth, Breaking Free from Culture of Selfies, Side Hustles, and People Pleasing to Embrace Your True Identity in Christ. Cassandra, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
So what made you want to write this book? Because first of all, we're in 2023. It's the era of social medias, selfies, and in the words of the kids, if it's not on social media, it didn't happen. So how do we break away from that culture?
It's funny that you ask that because we are in the age of social media. And matter of fact, the ministry that I am vice president of with my co-author, Brittany, is Her True Worth. We reach roughly about 5 million women throughout the world every month. And I really do believe that if Paul was here today, he would be where the people are. He would be on social media because it is a loud and angry place. And it's a great opportunity to shine a light. But a lot of us are looking for our worth in all the wrong places, and we tend to scroll the feed because we are hungry for answers, and we can't find them online, so we decided to write a book.
Yeah, so how does someone get to a place of worthiness?
So, in and of ourselves, I don't know about y'all, but I know myself really well, uncomfortably so, and I actually know that we are not worthy in and of ourselves, but our inherent worth comes from being made in the image of God, Imago Dei, and we find our worth and value and our identity in Christ because that is the one thing that does not change.
So how do you even get to that place, though? Like you said, you know yourself so well, and so many people feel like they know themselves, and they don't, but it's so embarrassing to say out loud, I don't know who I am, whether you're 25, 45, 55. How do you get to a place of starting to get to know yourself, who you are?
So I think that in order to understand our worth and value, it's very important that we reckon with where our worth is not.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, how do we know ourselves? I think it's important that we acknowledge the things that we're not. We are not other people's opinions. We are not our relationships or our financial abilities. We are not our careers. We are not other people's views of us. We are not anything that is external. Our being, our innermost being, is within us, and it's God through us. And so to answer your question, I would say to come to a knowledge of who you truly are, because like you said, a lot of us are on this path trying to find ourselves. And we wear ourselves out chasing after our worth in all of the wrong places, the people, the status, the social media following if you're a youngster. And it's exhausting.
It is.
And so to find yourself, I really think we have to get to the end of ourselves. We have to come to a place of acknowledging where our worth isn't and where our identity isn't in order to actually begin to truly uncover who we truly are.
Yeah, and I love that you said that because even in the dedication, it was so like soul touching. And I was reading it and I want to read the very last line here. And you said, you are seen, known, and dearly loved by God. He calls you worthy. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how amazing is it that someone that's reading this book now who feels like they're in the darkness or so depressed, they read that last line and they can kind of reframe it to where they say, I am seen, I am known, I am loved by God, I am worthy. Like that's like your own little affirmation from that little section here. So what made you want to write that?
Thank you so much. Actually, the affirmation, a lot of authors start with their dedication. And ironically, Brittany and I were first-time authors. Now we're getting ready to start on book three. But when we wrote this book, Her True Worth, the dedication was the last thing we wrote.
Wow.
And it couldn't have been more God-ordained, because we were writing this book during the throes of shutdown with the pandemic and everything being literally upside down, mm-hmm. everyone's mental health going through crazy spirals, all kinds of things happening. And we're wondering, what is life? Mm-hmm. And where do I fit now that all of these things I've aligned myself with, whether it's my job, well, now it's shut down. My friends, I'm hardly seeing them. My family, I had a loved one pass away. My job, I lost my job because of all of these things. And we were thinking and praying about it. And we said, what do we want? If someone doesn't read past this page, mm-hmm. what do we want them to walk away with?
Yeah.
And we felt like it was so important to tell them, if you're wondering if you're worthy of the space that you take in this world, we just want you to know you're seen, you are known, and you are dearly loved, and God calls you worthy. Because if they just shut that cover and there's nothing else that they can read,
yeah.
we feel like we did our job.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that as well, because even that first line you said here, for every woman that has ever questioned if she's worthy of the space she takes in this world, these words are written for you. And I just think about like how many women, you know, are in a male-dominated space, or just in the world in general, but in a male-dominated yeah. space, and you're just like, okay, do I? Because you start to have that imposter syndrome, like, well, do I have the qualifications to be in this male-dominated space? So how do you really, I guess, own who you are in a space where you don't feel worthy?
I will just go ahead and raise my hand first, because I'm a firm believer in going first. If I want someone who's reading anything I write or listening to anything I say, I want to be willing to go there mm-hmm. first with them. And I just want to admit, like, that feeling of being at war for your worth every day, that feeling of inadequacy mm-hmm. is a daily battle for me. And just because I wrote this book with my co-author, and just because I lead a ministry that reaches millions of women throughout the world, I still wake up every day wondering,
yeah,
am I worthy? Am I even qualified to be here? And the answer is, in and of myself, I'm not.
Wow.
And the moment that I can reconcile with my limitations and my weakness mm-hmm. and really embrace every part of my story, I'm able to lean into God's grace and his mercy, which is new every day. And I'm able to align myself with who he is mm-hmm. and what he's done. And it takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
It really does.
And I'm glad that you said that, because a lot of times when people write books like this, like as a reader and the outsider, people are like, oh, she got her life together now. She wrote this book. She got her life together.
I'm sorry. No.
I'm so happy that you said that and you're so honest, because I honestly believe that in order to be vulnerable, you have to be honest. And being honest and being vulnerable is risky. It's uncomfortable. But when you go there, someone else says, wait, that's me too. So mm-hmm. do you think in this life it's possible to get to a place of wholeness, or are we always going to be chasing that?
I believe it's a both and, because I believe that although we live in the already kingdom, we mm-hmm. know that God has secured our place with salvation by what was done on the cross. We cannot do it by our works mm-hmm. so that none of us can boast. So I do believe that we do have a place of worth that we do arrive to, that is ours, that we have access to every single day. Mm-hmm. But I also have to acknowledge the fact that it is not our own merit and our own work. It is not our achievements. It is not our relationships. It's not our fitness plan, the size in our jeans, the foundation we use, any of it. It is found in God. And so I would say both and. We have our worth and value, which is irrevocable. It's not up for grabs. You cannot earn it. Yeah. But we also have to live within the tension of the not yet kingdom. Mm-hmm. We know that our salvation is secured, but we live in a fallen world, and we come against things that will tell us a million times over why we are not worth or have any value.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, also in chapter one, Misplaced Identity, I love that you used the story of Wonder Woman. It was the most amazing thing. But you said here, you said if you don't know who you are, or I'm sorry, you said if you don't know you are Wonder Woman, you won't be Wonder Woman. You can have all the power in the world, but if you don't believe it, you will never walk in it. And I thought that line in itself was so powerful, because if you don't truly believe that you're good enough to take up space, then you won't be. And I really do kind of like what you were saying, is that the happiness really do come from within. And if you're looking for the external things, you will never truly be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you want to use Wonder Woman as an example here?
So ironically, it was actually Brittany's husband who we were talking through chapter one, mm-hmm. which at one point this chapter was in the middle of the book. That's the chaos and the creativity of writing a book, is that things change.
Yeah.
But he was talking about, he's like, you know, if you don't know who you truly are, you don't walk in that. And we were just like, what do you mean? Say more. And he's like, well, you know, like superheroes, there's always an orange origin story, which my husband loves Marvel. So
yeah.
I was picking up what he was putting down, and we were like, yeah, man, like if you don't know who you are, or rather whose you are, then you can't live fully confident and convinced of your true identity. You won't walk in that power.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, we're not the hero of the story. Mm-hmm. We all know that. Jesus is. But we get to be co-laborers, and we get to point other people to who they truly are in him.
Yeah, and also throughout the book, you had a lot of, like, scriptures to almost kind of match what you were saying. So I was thinking, I was like, okay, so for someone that's dealing with depression or anxiety or whatever, and maybe they're not a Christian, maybe they don't believe in God, maybe they don't even have a faith, but they picked up this book because they felt like they were called to do it, and now they have kind of almost like a blueprint to start, I guess, reading the Bible or, you know, and I love that. So was that intentional for you all to do that with?
Oh, my goodness, yes. So I was not raised in a Christian household, nor was I raised in the Bible Belt. So where I grew up, there were bars on every corner. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I moved here and I was 16 years old, there was a church on every corner, often across the street from each other. And so as someone who came from a family that did not know Jesus, they operated in a way that they did not know Jesus.
Yeah.
And for me, I wanted to write approachable theology. I wanted people to read it, understand it, and be able to apply it. We wanted it to be approachable. We didn't want to sit up here on a mountaintop and be like, we have arrived because of Jesus, and one day you will too.
Yeah.
We wanted to say, like, hey, the trenches are hard. Like, God is with you in the midst of it. Hey, what you're going up against is real. God is with you. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so even for you, someone like you that didn't grow up in a Christian household, how did you find God? Like, what was that path like for you?
So I started school here in 2006 or two. Yes. So I moved here from a city that is right between Milwaukee and Chicago up north, and I moved here and started going to school. And apparently, like, the thing to do in these parts is to go to youth group.
Yeah.
And I had never stepped foot in a youth group before. And I started going mainly because all the guys there were super cute. And that's just like the truth of a 16-year-old girl.
I understand.
I was like, okay. Like, I see you, belt buckle. I see you, Wranglers. So
you and
I
would have been friends back then. Yeah.
We would have been friends.
We would have.
And I, you know, I saw these guys and I was going to youth group. And what's ironic about this is I was at church. But I was not with God.
Ooh.
And it wasn't until, like, I was going, I was attending, I was listening to the sermons, nothing was penetrating my heart. No truth was being revealed to me in a way that I, you know, the Bible says that those who have eyes to see, see, and those who have ears to hear, hear.
Yeah.
And my heart was the hardened soil. The seed had been thrown, and I was not cultivating it. And it wasn't until I was about 19 years old, I'd already graduated high school, and I was living on my own, which at the time I had a very, very toxic home life. And this girl that I went to cosmetology school with was like, hey, I found Jesus, which, mind you, this girl was doing drugs in the parking lot, like all kinds of, like, booze in the back of her trunk, like wiling out. And she was always really nice, but then all of her friends ditched her, and she's like, I found Jesus. And she thought because I was going to church that I had already found him. I did not. Yeah. And it wasn't until that precious girl invited me to go with her to church that I encountered Christ for the first time in a very true and intimate way that changed me forever.
Hey, everyone. I want you to know how proud I am to welcome Hostetler Roofing as a sponsorship partner. I had the pleasure to meet with some of Hostetler's staff, and I could tell they really mean it when they say they're all about honesty, integrity, and accountability. They get it that contractors don't have the best reputation, and they want to change people's minds about that by setting an example. Everything Hostetler Roofing does is about taking care of customers, whether it's a commercial or residential job, maintenance, repair, or a whole new roof. That's why they offer 5- and 10-year workmanship warranties on everything they do. Hostetler has a huge variety of roofing styles and materials available, and they're happy to help you with options to pay for their work, from affordable financing to applying for government grants. It all starts with a free inspection. Just call and ask, and before you know it, you'll get the best advice out there about your roof. Visit HostetlerRoofing.com or call 870-557-4797 to get started. And please mention you heard about them here.
Wow. So even when it comes to writing the book, like what made you, it's one thing to say, okay, I want to write a book, but to actually put it in action, what made you decide to, okay, I have to do this?
I'm going to be honest with you. If we had gone to high school together, I probably would have been voted least likely to tell people about Jesus for a living.
Yeah.
I also failed most of my spelling tests. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, it was definitely a God-ordained thing. Mm-hmm. I have always had a hard time expressing what I feel outwardly. It's always been something that I've struggled with due to, like, childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And I always remember one constant was writing in a journal. Yeah. And although I didn't know God and I didn't necessarily have the tools or was educated to the point where I was like, I'm going to write a book one day. Yeah. As I got older, I constantly wrote as a way to meet with God, but also as a way to upheave and really reconcile with what I was going through. It was a very cathartic thing.
Yeah.
And when I went through the early delivery of my son in 2018, I had a lot of free time because he was in the NICU for about 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And my husband had just transitioned to his job working for the Department of Defense at Tinker Air Force Base. He's prior military, and I had been doing hair for over a decade. Wow. And that's and I loved doing hair. Shout out to all of the people who are in the service industry. I'm so grateful for all of your gifts, talents, and abilities. Mm-hmm. But I never thought that I was capable of more. And I was really very intimidated, and I'd been researching writing for years publicly. Yeah. And I just felt a prompting to go for it and get a blog. Mm-hmm. So I purchased a blog domain with our credit card, the only credit card we had. And I was like, swipe. And I went ahead and I put out something out into the world, just one post.
Yeah.
And a woman reached out to me from a brand called Upspring Baby, which is carried in Target and Walmart. Ooh. And she said, hey, these are words that I wish somebody would have said to me when I dealt with my son's NICU experience. Mm-hmm. It's made me feel less alone in my suffering. Thank you. Can I share it on our website, like our brand website? And that was the first time where I was like, hold on.
I have something to say.
I have words to say, and people actually resonate with this, and this can soothe their weary souls. This can point them to the hope that they have in Jesus. And from that point, I completely dedicated myself after our move from Texarkana to Oklahoma to learning everything I could possibly learn about writing.
Yeah.
And I went to a writer's conference and I learned how to write a proposal and I learned how to acquire an agent. And it kept going from there.
Yeah. And you know what? Also kind of what I got from the book is like a lot of times when you read things like this, people always say like, oh, God just told me. Like, but how do you, I guess, really get that feeling? Like, cause some people think like, okay, you heard a voice, or was it a feeling? Like, what was it? Or what do you mean when you say God told me to do this?
So I think that we always hear, well, I've always heard from the moment that I started going to church that God cares about what we care about. Mm-hmm. And that the Holy Spirit is active. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are cessationists, and there are people who believe that the Holy Spirit does not communicate to us. I believe that the Holy Spirit does. Yeah. I believe in the Trinity, mm-hmm, operating fully and functional. And so for me, I experience the prompting of the Holy Spirit as far as the fact that I knew that this was something that was pressed upon me, mm-hmm, to do, regardless of my inadequacy, regardless of my fear, regardless of my inexperience, all of the things, I still was seeking something out beyond me, mm-hmm, and beyond my own desires.
Yeah.
And that's how I know from my own personal story that that was God for me. And that's different for other people. And I know that we can often misunderstand our preferences for God's purpose.
Yeah.
We can misunderstand our desires for God's plan. And I realize that, and I don't want to put a blanket statement. But for me personally, this was something that had begun long before I found God. Mm-hmm. I had been writing and finding my own comfort.
Yeah.
In writing. And so that moment when I realized this was resonating with someone else, that's when I knew I was on the right path, if that makes sense. Confirmation.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that makes perfect sense, because also when you're talking about going to the writing conferences and stuff like that, instantly I thought she's intentional, which brings me to page, well, I don't remember what page this is, but you said we need to know our identity in order to carry out the purpose God has for our lives. And I love that too, because when you are intentional, everything will always work out, always. And so when you said that, I was like, oh my gosh. And I just think about like my own life, how many times have I made decisions and it was because of, I thought this or want to be that, and I wasn't intentional, and then things don't work out. I'm like, but God, like, why did you do this? So what did you feel when you wrote that?
So we know that in God's word, it says that God works everything according to the good of those who love him and are called according to our purpose. Mm-hmm. And to spring off of what you said, God does work all things according to the good. But let me tell you right now, as I was writing that particular part and throughout the writing of this book, it did not always feel good.
Yeah.
And often we can walk through things that feel like disaster, mm-hmm, that are difficult, that feel like we are breaking. And it is most often than not those experiences where we are being pruned, we are breaking through the surface, and God is growing us. And those are often growing pains, and suffering is very real,
yeah,
on this side of heaven. So I do want to preface that. But with identity, you cannot live your life unaware of who you are, because if you live your life uncertain, mm-hmm, you will allow anyone to speak into you.
Oh,
anyone. And you will be so hungry. There's a reason that social media is called the feed.
Yeah.
And as someone who does benefit from social media for a living, I do want to say we arrive to it like a trough.
Yes.
We are hungry and we are looking for answers. Mm-hmm. We are thirsty for someone to speak into our lives. And what a dangerous thing it is if you do not know who you are, mm-hmm, because you will let anybody tell you who, oh, yeah, you are or who you're not.
Yep.
And you will believe that your identity, your worth, your value is not inherent. It is actually something to be earned or can be revoked. And it's simply not true.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because it just spoke to me so much. Because so many people, in particular women, you deal with this even in relationships. You know, you're trying,
yes,
to make sure someone like you. And so you're doing everything for this person to like you. And then you kind of think like, wait, it's not me. It's actually them. And so what you were saying, like, you know, if you don't know who you are, you will allow people who know you the least tell you who you are, and you'll believe it. And then you're, mm-hmm, hurt and you're depressed because someone who don't even know themselves told you who you are, and you actually had the nerve to believe that.
Exactly.
What is that?
Man, I couldn't have said that better myself.
No, you did say it better. It's so good. And like, I was just reading this book and it's like, you're on the verge of like tears, because you're just like, every sentence is speaking to me. Like, this is, because everyone is dealing with it and no one want to admit that.
Mm-mm.
They're dealing with it. And I'm so glad that you said, like, I'm the first to admit this. I'm the first to do this. I will tell you, I don't have it all figured out. No one has it figured out, but everyone wants, and again, on social media, everyone's an expert at politics. Everyone's a lawyer. Everyone's a police officer. Everyone
is everything. The Google doctors.
They're the Google doctors. I think that's a perfect way to describe it. So I love that you wrote this book because I think it's going to touch so many women on so many different levels.
Thank you.
Yeah. So also I wanted to mention another thing because you said something that was just so powerful. Oh, yeah. So you already kind of touched on this. But even when you were talking about your identity, you said, I, Cassandra, have a confession to make. I live most of my life believing that my preference here on earth held little value. So where did you begin to find more value?
So I think that, and again, like to your point, there's mm-hmm. so many messages that are coming to us mm-hmm. day in and day out, whether it's from the media, internal messages that we tell ourselves, limiting beliefs, false beliefs, or things that we perceive through our circumstances or the way that people treat us
yeah.
that send messages to us that our presence doesn't matter, mm-hmm. our voice is not heard, our hurt is not seen. And the thing is that we have a very real enemy. Mm-hmm. And when we can reconcile the fact that although everything around us might be screaming, you're nothing.
Yeah.
God says, I gave everything mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't earn it.
Yeah. So even just going back to relationships, maybe this is a little personal for me, but even with like relationships, whether it's like romantic or friendships, like how do you begin to find yourself outside of someone that you kind of put so much of your worth into, or maybe you thought so much of what he thought or she thought or whatever? How do you begin to disassociate that and really like hone into yourself?
That's such a good question. And I'm glad you asked it because we do address it in the book. And I will tell you information from my own life that's not specifically in this book of, yeah, same, me too. Like mm-hmm. I've been married to my husband for 10 years this year.
Ooh, congratulations.
We have three precious tiny humans. Mm-hmm. We've been together 11 years. And it is a very real tendency for many of us
yeah.
to equate our value and our identity with someone else. Mm-hmm. And it is a great disservice to that person, not just to ourselves, but specifically to those that we love
yeah.
when we ask them to fulfill and meet what only God can. Mm-hmm. And also, I will say that in my experience with doing a lot of personal work in trauma-informed therapy, mm-hmm. I was able to recognize things that were triggering for me that I was unaware in my marriage and in my friendships, mm-hmm. where I was really putting an undue hardship on that person to make me okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we ever do that intentionally. It's something that we learn.
Yeah.
It's a learned behavior that many of us, or we're taught how to have healthy relationships.
Right.
Which there are many people that I know who have successfully done that and not merged who they are and their worth and value into someone else. Mm-hmm. And the best way to say, for me personally, the best way to stay away from making that mistake again, or in general, mm-hmm. is to put that person in their proper place. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to the emotional equity, mm-hmm. whether it's a friendship or a relationship. Because to your point, we cannot allow those who invest the least to have the most say.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a big deal. But again, if you have not read this book, you have to go and get this book. It's so good. I mean, I have so many like different like highlights where I just like highlight and make notes. But yeah, if you haven't read this book, you have to go get this book. Again, it's called Her True Worth, Breaking Free from a Culture of Selfies, Side Hustles, and People Pleasing to Embrace Your True Identity in Christ. But Cassandra, thank you so much for joining us here in the studio today.
It is my privilege. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. Follow On the Line on Twitter at OTLTXK and on our website, texarkanagazette.com/podcast. To support the show, post a positive review wherever you get your podcasts. The show is written, produced, and edited by yours truly, Carl Richter. And I'd love to hear from you. Email me at krichter@texarkanagazette.com. I'll see you next time on The Line.